Almighty God, you alone can order the unruly wills and passions of sinful men. Grant that your people may love what you command and desire what you promise, so that among the many varied changes of this world, our hearts may be firmly fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, if you could reach for your Bibles that you may have already, if not, behind you in your chairs, and turn up page 563, if you would. Through the summer weeks, we've been looking at the Psalms together. And this morning, I want us to look at Psalm 75. If you've got it, let me read it to you as we start. Psalm 75. For the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift your horns against heaven. Do not speak with outstretched neck. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. I wonder if you've ever had the experience of standing up to sing a song at church and being slightly embarrassed when the music group set off in the wrong key, or worse, start playing the tune for another song altogether. Of course, it wouldn't happen here. Here in Psalm 75, I found myself wondering whether they've got the right tune. Notice at the beginning of the psalm where the instructions for the musicians are. It says that the psalm should be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. See that? To the director of music. I don't know, that would be like Simon or Claire. According to the tune, Do Not Destroy. A psalm of Asaph, a song. But then we read further down about the God who judges, who humbles the arrogant, who brings down the proud, and who pours out his judgment on the wicked, and the wicked will drink up that judgment to the very dregs of the cup. So it seems that the tune doesn't fit. Don't destroy us, God. Have mercy on us, God. Be gracious, God. And yet we know you will destroy. You will judge the nations. You will bring your awful judgment. And so right from the beginning of the psalm, Asaph introduces this tension. Asaph was one of the temple priests. Perhaps he was responsible for the sung worship in the temple in Jerusalem and later in exile. The psalm is written from exile, as we'll see in a moment. But he introduces here a tension. How do we sing a song about judgment to a tune called mercy? And that's the question that we're going to be looking at from this psalm this morning. How do we sing a song about judgment to a tune called Mercy. But as we read verse 1, we see something else that doesn't quite add up. Verse 1 is, I think, the words of the worship leader who's encouraging the congregation to praise. He says, we praise you, God. Why? We praise you for your name is near. God is near. His name, all that he is, his character, his being, he is near. And yet, as I said before, where was this psalm written? It was written when the Jews were in exile. It was written in a place many miles away from the temple in Jerusalem, where God had been with his people. They were far from God. And yet, we praise you, says Asaph, for your name is near. God is still with us. We may be far from home. It may seem that he's not around. It may feel as though he's distant from us. We may perhaps be experiencing his fatherly discipline and feel for the moment far away. There may be few of us in that congregation. We may feel that our faith has faded a little, like a pattern on a curtain that's been in the sun for many years. Not as bold, not as clear as it used to be. And yet, his name is near. You Jews in exile, you may not be in Jerusalem, you may not be enjoying the closeness and richness of his presence as you did in the temple gathering, but he is the same God of compassion and mercy. There are still voices that tell. There are still whispers of a faithful and merciful God. He has not been forgotten. People are still speaking of him. People are speaking of his powerful deeds. And so those Israelites in the little gathering of God's people there in exile would think back to God's powerful deeds in delivering them from Egypt. And they would recall how God revealed himself to Moses. Let's remember for a moment how Moses had led the people out of Egypt. But before very long, they had become unfaithful. And whilst Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from God, what were the people of Israel doing? They were making a golden calf and worshipping it. And so here as well, at the beginning of their history as a nation under God, the Jews were facing judgment, facing extinction. And Moses went and pleaded with God for the people. And it was then that God again revealed his name to Moses. He proclaimed his name as he passed by in his glory. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. This is his name. This is the name that is near. And so as we come back to Psalm 75, we can imagine the worship band striking up the Do Not Destroy tune. And the people would get ready to sing of God's mercy. But then, at that moment, someone has a word from the Lord to share. And what is it? It's this. I will judge, says God. I am judge. And at the time of my choosing, I will judge. Now, for the Israelites who had been routed by the enemies of God, taken into exile, longing to return to Jerusalem, this is great comfort. God will judge his enemies. So in fact, there is great comfort here in knowing that God is judge. For he holds this tottering earth together by his justice. The world is being shaken by injustice. You only have to listen to the news or read the papers for 5 minutes before you hear again about the appalling war crimes being committed in Syria, for example, or the frightening injustice and violence that is occurring on the streets of Cairo. Injustice is everywhere. And yet, if God was not underpinning the foundations of this world with his justice, the whole earth would soon descend into anarchy. God puts his arms around this shaking, tottering world, and by his justice, he holds it steady. And so God says, do not be arrogant. Do not be proud. Do not shake your fist at God. Do not lift up your horns. Do not rattle your antlers with gods. You who are enemies of God, don't speak so defiantly, for God will humble the arrogant. He is the judge of the earth. He holds our world together, and he brings down the arrogant and those in open defiance of God. More and more I've been noticing and reading about the demise of the new atheism, which was put forward by Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and his group. People just aren't really interested anymore. It seems that these guys, they've had their time. And this is what someone in the Spectator, someone called Theo Hobson, wrote in April this year. I don't think he's a Christian, but he says this: the atheist spring that began just over a decade ago is over, thank God. Richard Dawkins is now seen by many, even by many non-believers, as a joke figure, shaking his fist at sky fairies. He is the Mary Whitehouse of our day. They've shaken their fist at God, and yet God has brought them down to the point almost of irrelevance. So a word of the Lord has been given in the congregation, and as you might expect, there's now a time of reflection on the word. In verse 6 to 8, the worship leader says, yes, our God is like this. He is the one who judges, and his judgments are severe. He is the one who exalts, and he is the one who brings down the arrogant. We talk sometimes about something that seemed to come from nowhere. For example, the lamppost that reversed into the back of my car. It seemed to come from nowhere. Or the harsh word that someone spoke to me in the office. Where did that come from? Seemed to come out of the blue. It came from nowhere. Yet here we know that judgment doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from God and God alone, not from the east, not from the west, not from the wilderness or the desert, but it comes from God. He is the one who judges. And in his hand, there is a cup of judgment, and it is poured out on the wicked of the earth. Yes, as we worship, let's worship with fear. Let's worship with awe. Let's not be arrogant in the presence of this holy judge. God has considered his judgment. He has looked into the cup. He knows what this judgment will mean. He has swirled the cup around as you might swirl a glass of wine before drinking it down. It is a strong drink full of hot spices that will burn your throat as it's swallowed. It is a terrifying cup to drink for yourself. And so, having encouraged the congregation by the truth of God's name that is near, and by the truth of God's justice that holds the world together, and that brings down the arrogant, we are left with a terrifying picture of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, being poured out on the wicked of the earth, who will be made to drink every last drop. And so then how does Asaph finish the psalm so positively, having just underlined to the congregation the awesome judgments of God? He says in verse 9, so let's finish with a song of praise. Let's praise this God who destroys all the wicked and removes their defiant strength from them. And so we get to our feet slightly hesitantly and we open our hymn book. Oh, and let's praise this God who lifts up and exalts the strength of the righteous. Oh, well, that sounds a bit more like it. But actually, we then think on the week that has been. We think of our own arrogant thoughts, our pride, our secret desire not just to be good or to be excellent, but to be the best. We become aware of our critical spirit. We realize that perhaps sometimes we've been too busy and important to care for those we love, and we hang our heads in shame, and we're ready to sit down again. But then the music group starts playing, and we hear again a tune of mercy. It's that Do Not Destroy tune again. And we realize that we can sing this song. We can sing it because his name is near to us. This is the one who is God with us, Emmanuel. He has come to us, Jesus. He has lived the righteous life for us. In the Lord Jesus, we have a Savior who approached the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he looked into that cup of judgment, and he has drunk it down to the dregs. He has drained it of all that burning hot judgment. He suffered on the cross that judgment for sin that was ours. And so we can, and we do, and we will praise our God. And we can, and we do, and we will declare this forever. This is the answer to the question that we started with this morning. It is in Christ, and only in Christ, that we can sing this song. In Christ, we can forever sing a song of God's judgment to a tune called mercy. Will I sing this song today? Shall we just read, if you're able to, just read the psalm with me out loud as we finish this section? Let's read from the top, including the italic bit. Psalm 75, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift your horns against heaven. Do not speak with outstretched neck. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob, who says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up.